The following Frank Beckman podcast is brought to you by Volunteer Energy. Find out how more people are controlling their energy costs the Volunteer Energy way at volunteerenergy.com.
We're within 3 weeks now of the August 5th primary, and there are a lot of interesting races, as we've been documenting for you on the air, but there's also a very important proposal on the ballot for the entire state. It's called Proposal 1. And everybody in the business community is urging a yes vote on Proposal 1 because it would get rid of Michigan's personal property tax. Now, this is a totally misnamed tax because what it does, it's not all about personal property, it's about business property. And whether you realize it or not, here in Michigan, we charge a tax every year on businesses for the property that they own, whether it's office desks, whether it's computers, whether it's manufacturing equipment. Businesses that use those to manufacture their products or to provide their services, they have to pay taxes on that every year. Never changes. And the businesses want to change that. Sandy Barujas, the president, CEO of Detroit's Regional Chamber, which is part of the brigade leading the charge in favor of Proposal 1. He's on the other end of our line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, my friend.
How long has it been that the businesses have been fighting this now?
We've been fighting this for decades. This is something that Michigan has had for decades. It makes Michigan very much an outlier, especially for manufacturing states. I mean, what other state in the nation charges you a tax when you buy something, you know, which is kind of fairly normal, sales tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then every year you own that piece of equipment that you use to produce your product or produce your service, you pay a tax on it every year. And this is one of these old taxes based on when, you know, Michigan was kind of, you know, the epicenter for manufacturing, and there's all these big, heavy manufacturing facilities that, you know, Michigan leaders at the time thought would never, ever, ever leave, and they kind of held these manufacturing companies hostage, if you will. Now we know that we live in this global marketplace. You know, companies can go anywhere, and they do. They can go to other states, and they do. We're in a much more competitive environment, and this tax puts Michigan very much on the outlier of, you know, of what other states do and what's considered acceptable taxation.
Other states do have this tax, states around us, but not as high as ours,
Not like Michigan does. And actually, some of our neighboring states don't have it at all.
How big is our tax?
I can't remember. It actually changes by year. It diminishes over time, and I can't remember the formula. I'll have to ask my accountant.
It's not just a number, 6%, say, and it stays at that number.
It dwindles over time because you're able to depreciate the value of your property over time.
Right. Now, so, the money goes, as I understand it, though, to local communities, right?
It does, but the beauty of Proposal 1 is that the way they've set up Proposal 1 is that all the money that is needed for things like fire services and emergency services, police services, all those local community services are fully funded. And because right now with the personal property tax, this misnomer tax that we have, it is really difficult for localities to determine when or how much they're going to get in any one year, and it makes budgeting really hard. So what Proposal 1 does is it kind of gives everyone a good solid base for those services, and that's why so many police organizations and so many municipal leaders have signed on to it. This is not just the business community saying we need to do this. There are people who actually use the money from the tax. The fire services, the police services, and the municipalities are signed on to this as well.
Sure. Well, they look at this as a potential money maker down the road in terms of increasing job growth in their communities and business magnetism, if you will, as a result of a lower tax for the companies that have the equipment.
Right. The analysis that we've been privy to looks like about 15,000 new jobs across the state of Michigan, should Proposal 1 pass. And, if you're a mayor or a county executive, you're looking at that and saying, hey, I want a piece of that pie. And especially if you are in a manufacturing area, which obviously Southeast Michigan is very much a manufacturing area, you want to be able to take advantage of that. It makes your community, your county, all that more competitive.
Now, Sandy, I can hear members of our audience right now grumbling under their breath going, wait a minute, this is counterintuitive to me. How do you charge a lower tax on this to businesses and make sure that the tax revenue remains the same for local communities without raising taxes somewhere else?
Well, what they've done is that they've closed some loopholes that businesses are currently can take advantage of, and so that money will then go to the localities. So it's kind of that replacement income goes directly to the communities and on a stable basis, as opposed to having to wait for the calculation of the personal property tax. And what happens with the personal property tax is, let's say that you're a community and your a manufacturing facility closes down, perhaps because they have to pay the personal property tax, that community then is without those dollars to, fund the fire department, fund the police department, those basic services. So what we're doing now with Proposal 1 is through through statewide tax collection, closing some loopholes, that additional revenue will then go directly to the municipalities and the counties to fund those basic services. So it becomes a much more stable form of revenue. And if your particular manufacturing plant closes or, changes its profile and shrinks, you're not immediately impacted.
Talking with Sandy Baruja, the man who runs the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to get into another topic here. We've been talking about Proposal 1, and it's on the August 5th ballot. It would end this personal property tax that has been so onerous to businesses here in the state of Michigan. I want to talk to you about immigration, if I may, because the Chamber's been very much involved in urging a massive change in immigration law in our country, and what we're witnessing right now is an influx of illegals across the border, young people, females especially, and they're now being sent to communities across the United States by Health and Human Services out of Washington. And Michigan is one of the stops here. I want to get your take, first of all, about what's happening and your concerns about what you're witnessing.
Well, our chamber, along with the U.S. Chamber and other organizations, are really focused on kind of the other end of the immigration challenge. We have unfilled jobs in Michigan and across the United States that, because of those jobs being unfilled, it makes our companies less competitive. And what we're currently doing, as you know well, Frank, is that we educate students from all across the world here in the United States, some of the best education available on the planet, and then we send them away to go compete against us. What we're really concerned about is, how do we attract and keep those highly skilled immigrants in the United States to go to work for U.S. enterprise and make the United States more competitive, as opposed to sending these people away to other countries and other companies to make them more competitive against us in the global marketplace? The issue that the immigration issue that everyone is focused on right now, this moment, is the crisis on the southern border. That's not really our issue. Obviously this is tragic. Something needs to happen. My personal opinion is that we have sent kind of the wrong message as a nation to others and other countries, saying that, listen, if you get here, you can stay here. Obviously living conditions in other countries south of our border are not good, and some people are fleeing, but we just can't have people hang out here. So we need to figure out what's the right way to send the right message to make sure that our borders are secure. But we need to look at this immigration challenge really holistically. Everyone, when they think about immigration right now, is thinking about the crisis on the southern border. That is important. That needs to be addressed. But we have a broader immigration challenge, which is, how do we retain high, talented people in the United States to go to work for U.S. enterprise.
See, now that makes sense, but the influx of just any migrants who want to come here, and migrants not the right word, any illegal immigrant who wants to come here, just come across the border and we'll find a way to take care of you. That's not getting the best and brightest over here. And I get it that people want to escape the violence and the crime back home, but they've had that for generations in those countries, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, it's I do sympathize, a great deal that, you know, these people are leaving, you know, in most cases a pretty horrendous situation. But what we have to understand is that, especially for these states that are on the southern border, the Texases, the Californias, the Arizonas, you know, their local governments and state governments have to fund all of these needs that are coming across the border, and the federal government is really not helping at all with that. So, you know, these states, you can understand the anger that these southern states are feeling because, one, they feel that the federal government is not doing its proper job in properly securing the border. They feel that the federal government is not doing a proper job in sending the right message to residents in other countries, or sending them wrong message that, you know, listen, if you get here, you can perhaps stay here. And then thirdly, all the expense associated with all those people coming over the border are being absorbed by the states. And, you know, and the federal government really isn't helping all that much with that expense. So if I'm in a southern state and I'm dealing with this on literally a daily basis, I understand the anger that people are feeling towards Washington right now for really not handling the situation, you know, very well. I mean, it's a little bit different for us here in Michigan because, you know, we obviously have the need for migrant labor because Michigan is the second most diverse agricultural state in the nation. We don't think about that as often as we should. So agriculture is very important. We are leaving crops either on the ground or on the trees every year because we don't have enough, you know, migrant workers. So we do have that need for that kind of basic migrant workers in the state of Michigan. Not having those people here is impacting our economic competitiveness, but we just can't have, you know, whoever can make it over the fence, you know, gets to stay. I mean, we need a much more reasonable and methodical system. But what we're really focused on is that high-skilled immigration. That's our number one issue on immigration reform.
Sandy, appreciate the time. Good luck with Proposal 1. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Frank.
Take care. Sandy Berruha, the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Frank Beckman breaks news weekday mornings. Catch him live 9 to noon on 760 AM. And streaming on WJR.com.